Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650 with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance live from the Kintex studio. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no obligation quote. Visit janpro.ca. All right, let's wrap up the show today with the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
Your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 17th. Starting with the headlines, the Canucks are officially the Pacific Division champions this year for the first time in the Pacific Division after they beat the Calgary Flames 4-1 last night. What else do you call it?
You say like they've won the Pacific Division crown, or they won the Pacific Division.
That's what they are. They're the division champions.
I agree with you. It's just like the New York Rangers are the regular season champions, but no one calls them that.
Hey, man, bring that up with everyone else. I'm right.
You are right.
It's everyone else that's wrong.
I think we need to celebrate the regular season champions. It's just the rest
now
of the world
disagrees
with me.
Because what you're saying is people react against, they chafe against calling something as measly as a division the champs, right?
Yeah.
But it's true.
There's only one champion in hockey.
But it's just
a cup winner.
It's an accurate representation of what
it was.
I agree with you. They were the Pacific Division champions.
I agree with you, and yet.
This is an odd hill to die on.
What do you mean?
Who's dying?
Drancer, apparently.
Well, I'm not dying on anything. I'm having a discussion because I agree with Jamie. We should find joy where we can. There should be more than one team that gets to be happy at the end of an NHL season.
Should we call them the Pacific Division victors?
Well, I'm saying people avoid framing it the way Jamie did. People say they won the Pacific Division crown. They say stuff like that
Pacific
to
Division
avoid.
Pacific Division title?
Yeah.
Yep.
They won the Pacific. People avoid saying champion.
People are also weird.
Correct. But also it's weird to say they're the Pacific Division champions, because also there's going to be a team that emerges in
That's
the playoffs
true.
From the Pacific Division to represent that side of the
In the playoffs, though, right?
That side of the bracket in the conference final.
In the playoffs.
But that's also complicated because it could theoretically be like Nashville.
Well, for sure.
And they can't be the Pacific. They're not in the Pacific Division. You know what I mean?
100%.
So your qualm is with the playoff structure, not with the division champions.
Well, I'm just saying it's not something we often hear because of how hockey in general celebrates only one award. What are you talking about?
Dom, what's going on here?
It's the first time they've won the Pacific, so we don't hear it often because...
No, but we also didn't hear it often about the Flames. Pacific Division champions wasn't... They won the Pacific.
We're
That's
not in Calgary.
Hmm?
We're also not in Calgary.
Yes.
Dom, you're allowed to see what other people around the league are saying. There's not like a wall.
What do you mean?
Cutting off all communication from outside.
We just don't regularly see it, but I think it's completely valid. And in fact,
great.
I think we should lean into it. We don't often hear it.
So anyways, the Canucks, officially Pacific Division champions after beating Calgary 4-1.
Pacific Division ribbon winners, suggests Peter in Cloverdale. Do you remember?
That is how people treat it, though, right? Like, it's beneath people to celebrate it. But then also...
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's like there's this weird gray zone where it matters, but only some of the time.
The Pacific Division pennant, suggests Logan.
Sure.
No, keep that for baseball. Let baseball have their thing.
Well, the pennant doesn't even exist anymore, right? Because it used to be you won the league and then you got to play the World Series.
Yeah.
So that was like, that's the pennant. That doesn't really
exist. No, I don't think they say like the ALCS winner won the pennant.
Yeah, and Paul from Coquitlam summarizes it. Get the word champion out of your mouth. You can only use it if the Canucks win the cup.
I don't know what to tell you. They're the champions of the Pacific Division.
Until a champion of the Pacific Division, maybe them, emerges to represent the Pacific side of the bracket in the conference final.
Mm-hmm. You guys will remember the Nashville Predators raised a regular season Western Conference Championship banner a few years ago, and there's a replica of it sitting on the shelf in front of you.
Mm. What a piece of hockey history. Incredibly
now that
exciting.
I would agree.
Incredibly exciting. But they'll raise a banner, though, or at least not. They don't do it at Rogers Arena. They don't do a banner for everyone, but they have like the Northwest Division champion banner, and then they list all the years. So they'll raise a new one and leave some spots empty for when they hopefully win more Pacific Division championships. So I don't know, whatever. It's fine.
What's weird, in the last 10 years, because the NHL posted the graphic, the Edmonton Oilers have not won.
Was it Rob Williams who said the Edmonton Oilers haven't won any division since like 1987?
My God.
How is that possible?
Well, they were bad for a while.
Yeah.
And you luck into one.
And in the non-capped NHL, they were like a have-not team for most of that existence, right? Like the Edmonton Oilers for a long period of time operated like the Barry Trotz Nashville Predators, right? Or the, like they had to sell off all their good players like Jason Arnott and on and on. So I think that's a big part of it. That's at least the first half of the story. Now, how they haven't gotten it done in the cap era, that's different, especially given, you know, the best player in the world represents them.
Mm-hmm. They've won a Stanley Cup more recently than they won a division. They've won two Stanley Cups,
more
recently than they've won a division, which is absolutely wild. So that, you know, obviously we talked about the division title and what that means. I think in terms of on-ice stuff, the biggest takeaway, and we talked about it with Jason Buchla, was the play of Thatcher Demko and just the fact that he looked like Thatcher Demko. He made some big saves. As Rick Tocchet joked about after the game, the Canucks were a lot more permissive than they usually are in terms of allowing shots and chances against, but Demko was up to the challenge, only allowing the one goal. And that's just, like, I don't think you can possibly, I think it's very hard to overstate how big a deal that could be for the Vancouver Canucks to have healthy, in-form, rested Thatcher Demko coming back and immediately looking like Thatcher Demko going into the playoffs. There was this hope we'd heard, and I know you'd said, like, the organization thinks that this could be a major ace up their sleeve going into the playoffs, and we'll see how it plays out, but it certainly looked that way, at least in his first game back against Calgary last night.
He looked awesome. I mean, I thought he looked great. More than healthy, he looked on his game, Thatcher Demko style. Took a weird bouncer to beat him. I mean, he looked imposing. And what a good thing. I mean, just nice to see him waltz back into the blue paint and perform like that. That's got to make everyone in that Canucks locker room feel an inch or two taller here.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, that was just such a there's one thing to kind of think it's going to be the case, right, and talk yourself into it, and it's another thing to see it play out on the ice in front of you and be reminded just how good Thatcher Demko.
Oh yeah, this guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. And you think about it, like we didn't see it last night, but you know, pair some of the really, really impressive defensive efforts we've seen from the Vancouver Canucks, especially over the second half of the season, with that version of Thatcher Demko. And as you said, that's enough to make you feel sorry for the opposition, right? Like, that's enough to legitimately concern you. I know Nashville has this habit of coming back from games and they can generate a ton of scoring chances, but that's tough. Like, that's a tough situation to be in if the Canucks can score first in the playoffs, because not only do you have one of the best defensive teams in the league to try to break down, you've got one of the best goalies to beat if you are able to do it as well. It's just such an edge potentially for this team.
Yeah, I mean, this team feels at times like they've leveled up to that point where they're not dependent on the goalie, but instead the goalie is like, oh man, they're so good defensively, and then you have to beat Demko, right? Which is that Vasilevsky tier mm-hmm. we used to talk about, right? Because there's been so many seasons in the past 5 years where Canucks fans have really been like, well, but the goalie, right? And right now it's like Demko's the backbone of this team still in some ways, but there's so many more ways for this team to win than just their goalie gets hot. You know,
mm-hmm. It can be like kind of the last piece of the puzzle or kind of the cherry on top more than the foundation piece. Yeah. Right. It's a bonus rather than if he's not at the absolutely top of their game, of his game, they're not winning. And I think it's just such a different position and such an important position for the Canucks to be in. Other headlines for today, of course, you know, Canucks practiced. They'll play Winnipeg tomorrow in their final regular season game of the season in Winnipeg. And, you know, I guess we can talk about this in the lineup notes section as well. But sounds like Thatcher Demko will start. would expect maybe some lineup turnover, but maybe only one player who doesn't make the trip. That was suggested by Rick Tocchet, although he didn't say who that player could be. But we'll see how the Canucks end up lining up in Winnipeg tomorrow for Game 82. Broadsheet, as we discussed with Rick Dhaliwal earlier. So remember last week, or maybe even earlier this week, we were talking about signs indicating the Canucks would start their playoff series on April 23rd. That would be Tuesday. That would be 4 days off between games, a full 4 days off between games, between the final regular season game on the 18th. They'd have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off before game one. If it is the Predators have been done since Monday. So they would have more than a week off between games going into the playoffs. So what it sounds like it's going to be now, and this was reported, I know, by Patrick Johnston. I know Sat mentioned it. Rick Dhaliwal hearing the same thing. Jason Brough. So a lot of people hearing this, that it's looking very likely the Canucks are going to open the series on this Sunday at home at Rogers Arena. Now, I don't know if that kind of depends on it being Nashville or if it is Vegas or L.A., right, if the Canucks do win the conference and it's Vegas or LA, if it could be something different. But looks like it's going to be Sunday, I would guess. Game two goes on Tuesday the 23rd then at that point. So those are your first two games at Rogers Arena. And then, yeah, the scheduling, you start to dig into the concerts booked and the concerts booked in Nashville and the concerts booked here. The scheduling after that, after those first two games, could get really, really funky in this potential Canucks-Nashville series.
Yeah. Oh man, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
I hope you like Nashville.
I do. Well, no, you know, even the Canucks, when they went through Nashville early in the season, were there for like 3 days, right? It was like one where you get in, practice, team day off on the Monday, play Tuesday. So that was 3 days. I got stuck in Nashville for 3 days after the draft, which was already a week in Nashville. So it's like in the last 12 months, I've become a resident.
You've gotten really familiar.
Yeah.
You know all the spots?
Oh, boy.
Big Titans fan.
Just slip back into your Nashville routine. Your second home. I definitely your home away from home.
I'll be honest with you. I have Titans takes. But I have Titans takes, so that's good. I definitely have takes on where to go watch live music and drink on patios on Broadway.
Do you have cowboy boots?
I don't have cowboy boots. And I don't have a cowboy hat. But...
Big hat guy, too.
But I have lots of flannel, so.
Perfect.
What's your thought on Will Levis going into this season?
I've got very complex thoughts on Will Levis.
Very complex. Wow.
I've got takes.
Not just moderately complex. Very complex.
Yeah, well, he... I don't know. Do you really want to do this?
No, I don't. I absolutely do not.
I'll tell Dom after we get off it.
I absolutely do not want to hear your very complex takes on Will Levis right now.
Welcome to Titans Talk.
All right. So
I'm
that's...
just saying, if Callahan can make it work
sure,
with Jake Browning.
Sure.
They've got enough weapons with Pollard and Tajay Spears and Calvin and company that, like, I don't see why it wouldn't, especially if they get an O-lineman with the 7th overall pick of the draft.
All right. That's that's the broadsheet for today. Lineup notes. So, as mentioned, Thatcher Demko going to start that game in Winnipeg, although Rick Tocchet did say, you know, look, if it turns into shinny out there, I won't be afraid to pull Demko out of the game, make sure he's not being overextended by his teammates. As Jason Buchla said, it's not like you can throw Demko out there and ask him to go less than 100%. He's going to be doing his best, so you have to manage the environment in front of him to make sure he is, in the best form possible going into the playoffs. We'll see how the lineup materializes. I did want to mention something that Rick Tocchet talked about in his post-game comments yesterday, which was, I believe our friend Gemma Karsten-Smith asked him, are these your lines? Are these your lines for the playoffs? Or are you still going to do some tinkering here with your practice time before it? And, you know, Rick Tocchet basically said, this is what we're going with, right? You know, and he
to
said,
start.
And he said, you know, look, I don't hold me to that. There could be a tweak here or there. But the vibe from Rick Tocchet was what you saw last night against Calgary, that's what we're rolling out to start game one.
Well, again, there's been some thoughtfulness here, right? He's reduced the minutes of his top players. I think he trialed some things down the stretch. I think at some points he decided to give some veteran players nights off, but also to give some veteran players a kick. Like, I think that's what happened with Pugh Suter. And I think it's partly because Pugh Suter is going to play up the lineup. So it's like, hey, I need you to score, man. You know? So I think Rick Tocchet's been playing the long game all season. But I think it's really amped up over the past 4 weeks. And I think trial some things, get some looks, answer some questions. And then with 2 weeks to go, you put together your actual lineup and let people build some chemistry. That to me is kind of what we've seen over the course of the month. And I actually think when you reflect on it, it's been surprisingly methodical.
Yep.
You know, and honestly, I can even date it. Remember the team went out on that road trip, beat Vegas, beat LA.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Colorado, then they beat Vegas and LA and the Ducks. And then they came home and they lost to Colorado, but in overtime. Right? You remember this stretch?
Yep.
And it's like right after that, it was like Washington, Buffalo. That's when the minutes dropped. That stretch, like they won all those games. It was like, okay, I think we're safe atop the Pacific. I think we're in a good place. We're still going to try, but I'm going to start planning now. Now it's about the long term. That's when it happened, and that's what we've been watching for the past month.
Yeah. And I think, look, if these are the lines he's rolling with in game one, I think they make a lot of sense. I know we've talked about the lineup at length, so we don't have to dig into it too much here in the broadsheet. We'll have plenty of time for that going into these games and throughout the playoffs, but I just think there's a lot of logic to how he's built it out. We'll see what tweaks, if any, happen throughout the playoffs, but as you heard from Rick Tocchet last night, what you see is probably going to be what you get when the Canucks begin their playoff campaign. Playoff forecast. Now, obviously, look, they've won the division, so one of the things we've been tracking here is done. I don't believe that Dom Lucision has updated his model today because it's still showing the Edmonton Oilers with a 5% chance of winning the division, which is obviously inaccurate. I believe it's yesterday's update.
It might be something that only matters to us.
That's the thing. Yeah. We don't have updated numbers on most likely playoff opponent. Well, obviously, we know Nashville is the most likely. But just to kind of reiterate the scenario, Dallas hosts Edmonton tonight in their final game of the regular season. If they get a point from that game, then they clinch the regular season Western Conference title. That means the Canucks can't catch them. That means the Canucks would be locked into playing Nashville in round one. If Dallas loses in regulation and the Canucks win tomorrow in Winnipeg, then all of a sudden the Canucks would leap up to first place in the Western Conference and play either LA or Vegas. Now, interestingly, I haven't done too much of a deep dive into this, but last I saw was that doesn't look like Dallas is going to be resting a bunch of guys, Jake Oettinger and Nett. So take that for what you will as they go into that final game against St. Louis. But the Canucks' first-round playoff opponent could be decided tonight in Dallas.
So the scenario is, right, that if Dallas is to – if Dallas loses, then the door remains open, but they have to lose in regulation.
Yep. If they pick up just one point, then it's over. Because they're already 2 points up.
Because the only way Vancouver ducks Nashville is if they win.
Is a Dallas regulation loss tonight, Canucks win tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then they won't play Nashville.
So, okay. So we're at the point of we need a two-game parlay to hit.
That's right. Exactly. It's Jonte Porter hours over here.
Let's go.
And then, of course, I guess there's the secondary concern of, let's say that played out, would it be LA or Vegas? I think it would be LA at this point. You think Vegas takes care of business against, what is it? It's the Ducks in their final game, but you never know. And we'll see. It might not even be relevant depending on what happens in the Canucks game tomorrow and the Dallas game tonight. Gambling update for us to wrap things up here.
Canucks plus 1,000, 10-1. To win the Stanley Cup. Let's start big here, okay?
Sorry, apparently I said that Dallas hosts the Oilers. That's completely wrong. Yeah, Dallas hosts the Blues. I don't know why I said that.
Go Blues. Oilers 7-1, Rangers 7-1, Hurricanes 7-1. That's the inner circle of contenders per the gambling markets. Dallas 7.5-1, Bruins 8-1. Don't bet that. Panthers 8.5-1, Colorado 9-1, Canucks 10-1, tied with the Winnipeg Jets and ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights. Some skittishness in the market based on the fact that at no point this season has Vegas looked like an elite team for even a moment. So that's the update. We're going big since the Canucks won the
Pacific. And by the way, in terms of, you know, going back to Dom's model here for a second, we haven't really been tracking the Stanley Cup odds. Overall Stanley Cup odds in the model, but they are really interesting because what's emerged is basically
up from 4% now?
No, but almost nobody is. There's a big four, okay? Carolina, 22%, Edmonton, 16%, Dallas, 14%, Florida, 13%.
Now,
so two from both conferences.
Now, 22% is pretty healthy. That's like peak Avalanche a couple years ago. But One thing I'd note is don't take that as like a team quality indicator. That's mostly an indicator that the 2-3 matchup in the Metro is kind of a laugher.
Almost every other playoff team is like at 4%. New York, 4%. Boston, 4%. Vancouver, 4%. Winnipeg, 4%. Colorado, 4%. Toronto, 4%. Vegas, 4%. Wow. Then you get down to Nashville, 1%. LA, 3%. Tampa, 1%. Islanders, 1%. Well, but so basically there's, in Dom's model, there's tier 1 and then like a massive tier 2.
Yeah, which I think is right. The inner circle is not wide this year. And then here's the one other thing to note. Last I checked, and I don't know if it's been updated, but Canucks were at 58% in his model to advance beyond the first round. So weighted coin flip,
yep.
But weighted in your favor, Canucks fans, as we gear up for the postseason.
All right, that is the whiteboard for today. We will be back on the final Canucks game day of the regular season tomorrow here. PDOcast with Dimitri is up next. It is Sportsnet 650.